what about it? Have you gotten a sponsor?
Not exactly. I was waiting to see if the DNA that Amy, obtained for us would produce a viable clone.
Well, clearly it has. Now what are you waiting for?
Inspiration.
Inspiration?
Well, if I choose the wrong company, we could end up screwed out of any percentage of profits or even arrested.
I thought you said it wasn't illegal.
When has that ever made a difference when there's billions of dollars at stake?
I see your point.
I thought you would.
What's that supposed to mean?
It means that most corporations have the same practical approach you take.
Well, but their motives are purely for profit. I have larger concerns.
Such as getting thoroughly fucked.
Exactly. And you know, science. Biology, anatomy. Anatomy.
Try not to drip on the floor. I don't want to explain that slip-and-fall accident to the workers' comp board.
Too late, she said, giving him a sexy smirk. Magnus shook himself. It was getting late if he was finding Helen this sexy. But damn it, much as he loved Amy, there was something about amoral women that he found extremely erotic.
Man, we're messed up, he thought to himself.
He browsed through journals, trying to see if he had logged any settings for an alternate universe where he had observed any elves or fairies. Similar universes had similar settings, but there could be huge differences between even the smallest settings. He had found literally countless dinosaur-inhabited universes, with highly evolved biped dinosaurs, but he had tried to find the most traditional-type dinosaur world for his love, trying to make her childhood dreams come true. Which, to be fair to himself, he did, in fact, although with a few twists and turns he was sure the younger Amy had never imagined. So it turned out he had found a few settings that had elves. Before he had gotten back together with Amy, he had been spending a lot of time inventing and fine-tuning the device. And some of what Helen had said about quantum peeping Tom had some truth. There had been many lonely nights, and he had been a geeky kid with a giant crush on the villainess from ElfQuest Winnowill, with her shining white skin and jet-black hair and sly, sexy eyes, very different from his lovely and gentle Amy and her fiery red hair.
Helen, have you thought this out?
What, you mean like positions? That's a little personal, don't you think?
You've drugged and blackmailed me in that order, and you're offended by a question?
I wasn't offended. I don't mind. I actually really like missionary, but I also like reverse cowgirl, and if a guy's strong enough...
Never mind. No, I didn't mean positions. I mean, I find the quantum universe that has elves. I even get the portal to open up in a city populated by elves, say...
Or fairies.
Yes, or fairies, but I think I found the settings for elves, so let's stick with that.
Okay.
What happens next?
Well, we open the portal.
Yes, we strangers from another world step out of thin air. What do you think is going to happen?
Well, if that happened here, we'd probably get arrested. As illegal aliens, if not terrorists. But they're going to be nice and better. They're magical.
Look, I can't search the morality through the portal. Just a few visual images.
Well, if you see skulls decorating the battlements, probably not the right one.
Thanks for the tip. But let's say I find one sans skulls. There's still going to be an uproar when we appear from nowhere.
Don't you still have that high-tech dinosaur prod?
Yeah.
Well, then shock and awe them with the power of your magic boomstick.
And if they have actual magic?
Ooh, I'm hoping.
Woman, get your ovaries in check. We could get killed, imprisoned, tortured.
But that's because we live in an insane security state. Medieval cities are more open and don't expect everyone to have papers. And less people. No one might even see us step out of the portals. Speaking of, do you still need to keep the portal up the entire time, or do you have a way to generate it from the other side now?
No, I've fixed that. I can shut it down and then re-trigger it at the same location. That was priority one after we had to leave Amy over there with only an Anki to protect her from that Allosaurus.
So we sneak in, no one knows we're there. It's all good.
Okay, then how do we find an elf for you to make sweet, sweet love to?
You're making this sound awfully complicated. I'm a beautiful woman. We go into a tavern. I'm sure they've seen humans before. One elf guy hits on this super hot chick with unusually round ears, and then I'm warming my ears with my ankles.
Visuals.
Nothing you haven't seen before, lover, she chided.
I don't remember.
You don't even remember. Did I mean nothing to you?
I was drugged. You drugged me.
So you keep going on about. You can't let the past consume you. You have to know how to let things go.
I am going to kill you. Just beat you to death with one of your own shoes and leave your body in a Cthulhu-esque dimension and tell Amy you met with a horrible Elder God accident.
Elder God-related accident?
You went to bed with Nyarlathotep and he accidentally flayed you alive with his eldritch tentacles. These things happen.
You think Amy would buy that?
She knows you're sexually adventurous.
No, she doesn't. Well, not to my true extent. I keep a lot hidden from our sweet little girl. She doesn't know about that particular fantasy of mine.
You really have that fantasy? I was just making it up to be as offensive as possible.
I knew it, Helen said excitedly.
Knew what? Magnus said irritably.
I knew you worked at it. I knew you were too good for it to just be natural.
Magnus sulked.
Chapter 4. Magnus raised the flagon of surprisingly tasty ale to his lips and tried not to stare too intently at the exposed cleavage beckoning to his eye. Helen was wearing a peasant blouse with some very non-period underwire support that truly created a sight to behold.
"Huh?"
he said in response to her latest query. "Stop staring," she chided.
"Go fuck yourself," he responded pleasantly.
Being in an alternate universe, even if it was a very nice tavern full of beautiful people, made him edgy.
"Not why I'm here,"
she said, taking a long, slow look around the room, scouting the local talent. He contented himself with keeping his eyes on the view before his eyes, which, unfortunately, led to his missing her next question, too.
"What?"
"What about him?" she asked, nodding over at a lithe, graceful blonde at the bar with the requisite pointy ears poking through his ash-blonde hair.
"I don't know. I draw the line at being the pseudo-gay friend wingman for you. I am merely the scientific advisor facilitator on this trip,"
which he had fulfilled by pulling up coordinates very similar to the ones in his journal and finding an alternate world that seemed to meet all of Helen's criteria. The inhabitants all seemed gorgeous, inhumanely graceful, seeming to float through life rather than trudge along like the humans of New York City. The men were tall, confident, with eyes that shined with wisdom and compassion. The women were slender, but with legs that went on just short of forever, and asses so taut you could bounce a quarter off them. Or so Magnus assumed.
"What do you think of this one?" he'd asked Helen.
She looked through the quantum lens and had gibbered and drooled for close to a minute. He took that as agreement and waited for a gap in the foot traffic, then took them through. Luckily it worked, and as far as he could tell, neither they nor the portal was detected. Fortunately, the forward-thinking Helen had brought some period-type clothes that fit his lanky frame, and her garb, as previously mentioned, was fairly spectacular, which helps explain why Magnus didn't notice the ash-blonde elf slide a chair up to their table, sidle very close to Helen, asking,
"M'lady, have I seen you here before?"
No. Helen stammered. "We're new in town. Just passing through." Magnus enjoyed seeing his unflappable lab partner thoroughly flapped. But then his own equanimity was lost when the softest of soft hands lightly brushed his forearm as the bluest of blue eyes met his own.
"Would my lord like another flagon of ale?"
Flagon ale? Nice guess,"
were the words that eventually emerged from his mouth. She was gorgeous to the nth degree, a vision in golden tresses and turquoise gems where eyes were supposed to be. With infinite grace, she raised a finger to the barmaid to bring them some more drinks, then lightly touched his arm again.
"I miscalibrated," he told himself. "This isn't Ulfheim, this is heaven. She's an angel, ergo this must be heaven."
He didn't think there would be taverns in heaven, but Magnus realized there would be more to any given system of eschatology than would be apparent to the mortal mind, even one as extraordinary as his own. Magnus stared and tried to answer her playful questions, while thoroughly losing himself in her beauty. Helen was trying equally hard not to simper at the male elf's attention. Despite her efforts, she found herself blushing and playing with her hair. Some part of her floating above and looking down on herself was frowning in disgust, but this rational part was drowned in a flood of hormones and endorphins that followed in the wake of this avalanche of charm.
"My name is Aristophanes," he said, "and what is yours, my beautiful lady?"
"Helen," she said, trying to contain the smile that stretched her face.
"And I'm Lorelei,"
the beautiful elf said, extending her hand palm down. Helen kicked Magnus in the shin hard.
Enchanted, my lady, he said, and raised her hand to his lips and kissed the top.
The skin was so soft that silk and ermine could sue for copyright infringement. He breathed in a strange scent of vanilla and jasmine intertwined, and it took another kick from Helen to remind him to raise his lips from the lovely flesh and to release Lorelei's hand.
"So I can't help but notice you're a man," Lorelei began.
"Yes, all man, yep, all man right here," Magnus babbled.
"What my friend means," Aristophanes clarified, "is that you're human."
"Yes, like I said, we have traveled here. Is it so unknown to have humans in your city?" Helen asked.
"It's unusual these days," Ari said smoothly as Lorelei started noticeably. Magnus dimly noticed the reaction, but mostly for the play of the elf's lovely shoulders, bared by the peasant frock she wore.
"Though far more common in the past," he continued.
"Oh, what happened? We don't live very near here and are rather behind in political developments."
"Oh, so what do you do then? Where do you live?"
"We are, well, we study," Magnus said as survival instincts momentarily overwhelmed his distraction with a play of candlelight on Lorelei's tantalizing golden skin.
"Yeah, we study nature and things," added Helen convincingly.
"So you are druids, then?" asked Ari archly.
"No," stammered Helen.
"We're scholars," Magnus interjected smoothly. He was a better liar than Helen, having more cause to. He also knew how to strategically use the truth, which is the hallmark of a really good liar. "While magic is all well and good, much can be done without magic, and, of course, our people are not nearly as skilled with it as yours." He smiled to himself. All true, and yet wildly misstating the facts as well. Since he'd been monogamous these past 2 months, he'd had no reason to lie, and Amy didn't like it anyway. It was nice to be able to put his talents to use again. He would have to deal with his enjoyment of misleading people, which he had formerly thought was just a means to an end, but something he now realized he enjoyed for its own sake. Maybe he'd go into politics or real estate when he got back home. Or if he really wanted to go wholeheartedly over to the dark side of misrepresentation and guile, museum administration and management.
"Let us be frank," Aristophanes said while taking Helen's hand. "We know that you are not from here. There hasn't been a human here in decades. There was a series of tragic events, and our city is not almost entirely populated of elves. Despite your attempts at stealth, we know you must have come from far away and that you did not come via our roads. So, tell us of your magic."
"But not here," Lorelei said, taking Magnus's hand. "Let us adjourn to our castle, far from prying ears and local riffraff."
Part of Magnus, chiefly those below the waist, wanted to agree automatically with anything Lorelei said. But as a practiced schemer and scoundrel, he could tell when he was being played.
"I think, actually, we'll just be on our way. Clearly, we're not welcome here."
"Oh, but you are so very, very welcome," Lorelei purred. "And we would be so glad to be able to show you how much."
She smiled in a very feline way to match the purr, but his whole body tingled. His survival instincts warred with every other part of his body.
"Please, do us this small courtesy,"
Ari put in, looking soulfully into Helen's eyes.
"We could at least go and talk with them," Helen said. "No harm in that."
No harm, I guess," Magnus conceded, while not being sure of that at all. But Lorelei's lips were awfully close as she leaned in, urging him with her eyes to accede to her small request.
"I'm an idiot," he thought to himself. Much later, he would vehemently agree with himself. Chapter 5. At the castle, which thankfully didn't have a moat, nor was it particularly scary other than it being a castle. In fact, it gleamed white and seemed to radiate goodness and safety. And Magnus could appreciate not wanting to discuss possibly delicate or secret matters in a noisy tavern. But the eagerness to get Helen and himself put his teeth on edge, which he reminded himself constantly to prevent himself being completely comforted and distracted by the sight of Lorelei's beautiful, pert derriere bouncing along in front of him as they walked.
"What about Amy?"
Helen whispered to him as she leaned in close, disturbing his reverie. "You're in a relationship, remember?"
"Don't even," he hissed back at her. "You can apparently drug me, sleep with me afterwards, and then apparently even later blackmail me about it, but you cannot then turn around and lecture me about morality and ethics. That's the line."
"Fine," she whispered grumpily. "What happens in Elfheim stays in Elfheim, I guess."
"What are you two whispering about?"
Lorelei teased lightly.
"Oh, just how lucky we are to be asked back to your castle. We've never actually been in a castle before."
"Oh, it's just a fort with style," Ari said. He put his arm casually around Helen, who melted against him.
"Now, a woman like you, Helen, that's a true beautiful sight."
Helen sighed happily. When they reached the portcullis, the gate was raised by a winch, or perhaps by a magic word or gesture, and they passed without even a search. Maybe Helen was right, and it was their world that was the security-mad military state. Chapter 6. Helen couldn't believe how well things were working out. She'd wondered about her plans and if they would work. Oh, not about drugging Magnus, fucking him, or eventually blackmailing him. She'd known that would work without a hiccup. But the plan to find a quantum universe and bang a pointy-eared cutie, that had seemed rife with potential problems. Would she even be wanted? After all, she knew she was a scientist. She was no supermodel, though she thought she still had a little something in the gas tank, a ship that needed maintenance, but you still liked her lines and curves, so to speak. But being in a city... well, they called it a city. It was a town by her world standards, and little more than a sleepy hamlet by the standards of a New Yorker like herself. But she thought the same of Chicago and San Francisco, and they clearly thought they were cities. So she tried not to stomp on the delusions of others unless they crossed her in some way. But among a town full of individuals who didn't walk so much as dance through the air, she had felt clumsy and dowdy, until Aristophanes had sat down beside her and looked at her like she was a prize to be won. No one had looked at her like that since, well, since Magnus, but he'd been under the influence at the time. That boy was a pain in the ass, but he at least knew how to give a lady his full attention. No wonder Amy had given him a second chance. Well, that and the whole fulfilling her lifelong dream of seeing actual dinosaurs. Even if that situation had gotten rather stickier than any of them had dreamed. Sometimes it seemed like a dream, but there were the undeniable two little Ankylosaurus clones growing in the lab this past week, and given how fast they were growing, Magnus had better find a sponsor for them damn quick. And now they were off again, into another different quantum universe branched off from their own, with lithe, beautiful, sexy elves, and Ari was leading her to her room, while Lorelei was showing Magnus to his. Magnus had looked troubled when they were separating, and she didn't know whether that was some sort of incipient jealousy for Ari, or whether he was still worried about her telling Amy about him being alone with Lorelei and what might happen. Well, she'd worry about that later, for now she was focused on how exactly to convince Ari if he needed convincing, that she needed his help washing up for the promised evening meal. She needn't have worried. Once inside her room, Ari took her hand and looked at her, a sexy smirk on his face, and immediately she was in his arms. She kissed him, and his hands were not shy of divesting her of her clothes. Immediately he pushed her up against the wall, long, supple fingers playing with her nipple, while his other hand slipped inside her skirt, moved aside her non-period lacy Victoria's Secret underwear. He seemed surprised by the fabric and elasticity, taking moments to play with the panties, snapping the elastic waistband a few times before, as if suddenly remembering his purpose, sliding those equally supple fingers inside her. At his touch, his fingers probing ruthlessly, relentlessly for her sex, she clenched tight around them, yet arched her hips forward, helping him find her clit. He stroked it as he kissed her neck, his other hand cupping her breast, and immediately she came for him, a low, continuous, thrumming moan. She couldn't believe how sexy, how confident he was, as if her consent had never been in doubt. She stepped out of her skirt and panties and began to touch him. He allowed her almost condescendingly to run her hands over first his chest, then undoing the drawstrings of his pants, freed his erect cock. She knelt down and took it in her mouth, running her tongue over its long smoothness and the surprising foreskin at the top. She briefly wondered if it was considered unkosher to suck an uncircumcised cock, but only briefly. Then she took it in her mouth, deep enough that she felt the warnings of a gag reflex and pulled back, still keeping the head between her lips as she licked it, then began a rhythm going up and down on it, while with her hand she played with his balls, just gently tickling them underneath, acclimating him to her touch there, a place most men were just barely comfortable with acknowledging existed in her experience, but were very responsive to just the slightest attention there. She could feel him getting even more excited, taste the saltiness of pre-cum on the head as she slid him into and out of her mouth, now working the shaft with one hand while she sucked. She could easily bring him to climax, but that wouldn't be as fun for her as getting that elf cock deep inside of her. With one last, slightly regretful lick, she eased his dick out of her mouth and stood up. She kissed the side of his neck and this time pushed him back against the wall. With all the blood thoroughly out of his brain, he was momentarily passive and content to let her take the lead. She put her hands on his shoulders and placed his hands underneath her ass. He took to that readily, squeezing and kneading her ass, making her even more wet. His cock, so long and smooth, slipped inside her as she reached up on tiptoes to work it inside, feeling it penetrate deep and hard inside her. Knowing her desires, wordlessly he lifted her up by her ass so that she could wrap her legs around his waist. Though slim, he was wrought with wiry muscle and easily held her without strain as their hips rocked together, as their parts joined over and over. Normally never at a loss for words, she could barely form coherent thoughts as the fantasies of a thousand nights clashed and meshed with the realities of a handsome male fucking the living daylights out of her.
Chapter 7
Magnus found himself even more conflicted as he followed the shapely derriere that seemed to mock him with every sway of those hips. And Helen, for a brilliant sociopathic manipulator, she could be a complete idiot. It was bad enough they had been taken to this castle, admittedly a white shining one, off the streets and further from the original portal location. Now they were separated, and when he'd try to signal her and suggest they stay together, she completely missed his concern. Not even intentionally, just blithely, as if she couldn't spare the brain cells. Which, given the difficulty he had getting his own brain enough blood as he watched those tantalizing hips, he supposed he had some sympathy for her. Yet being separated, first from the town and now from each other, it was interrogation 101, or sales technique. The two were surprisingly similar. When the hips turned into a room, he assumed it was where he'd been assigned. She pushed him against the wall with surprising strength. Her body was small and delicate, yet clearly well-muscled beneath the supple curves. She bit him hard on the nipple as she pulled his shirt down, tearing it in the back.
"Goodbye, blood," he thought to himself as he grew even more painfully erect.
With no shame, she began to rub it through his light linen pants, bringing relief and frustration in equal parts. He attempted to lean down to kiss her, but was pushed firmly back against the wall. Again she bit his nipple, harder than Amy had, and quite a bit harder than he liked. He looked down to see blood trailing down his chest, albeit sparingly. Blood also painted her pale pink lips, making an odd contrast with her ivory skin. Wait, hadn't that skin been golden a moment ago? And her hair, had it always been jet black? She was still massaging his cock through the thin fabric, making his hips buck as she continued to bite his chest hard. He moaned because it felt good.
"Please,"
he mumbled.
"Please what?"
"Please fuck me," he breathed. Long nails scratched down his chest, leaving thin trails of blood. The other hand freed his cock, running the long nails underneath his scrotum and over his shaft, thankfully not drawing blood this time.
"Fuck you?"
she taunted.
"Yes,"
he breathed. A hand shot out and slapped him hard across the face. The shock, more than the force, left him dazed and stumbling. Whip quick, her leg caught him behind the knees and dropped him to the hard stone floor. A bearskin rug mocked him from inches away. He had no doubt his fall, barely missing the cushioning rug by inches, was absolutely intentional.
"I was supposed to fuck you,"
Lorelei hissed in his ear. There was a crack and something sharply painful struck his exposed buttocks. And again, and again. He couldn't move. Her hand was pushing his head down into the stone floor to discourage even the idea of struggling. And it was working. Where had that flogger come from, he wondered, as the thick leather straps made contact with his ass again. His cock was still painfully hard, but the pain was mostly from the contact with the cold stone floor. He managed to turn his head slightly and saw the wall was adorned with several whips and floggers, which both turned him on and didn't bode well for his immediate future. There were also several skulls and an arras showing beautiful women being sacrificed to a hideous tentacle monstrosity. "Ah!" he screamed just to get it out of his system. Teeth bit down on his buttocks, sinking in and holding. He stopped screaming. He took the warning that there were so many other vulnerable places to be bitten. He was guided to his back, and the flogger thudded down across his chest. The sensation again walked the line between pain and pleasure as he studied the new Lorelei in front of him. Fully nude, her skin was now alabaster white, her hair fine strands of ebony, and her mouth painted dark red with what was clearly his blood. She smiled, shining white teeth, thankfully without fangs, though the incisors showed very sharp, clearly not a vegetarian species of elves living in harmony with their woodland brothers and sisters. These were elves that took, and then took some more, and then maybe burned the forest down out of spite, or for no reason at all. Well, at least Helen should feel at home, he thought, bringing a wry smile to his face.
Chapter 8
Amy couldn't believe the nerve of the two of them. They weren't even here after she'd come all this way to snoop on them. That was really inconsiderate. Some people. Well, she took the time to look in on the little Ankylosaurus clones. Anki had been cute, but these little suckers were adorable. For now, they were encased in a large terrarium. They butted their heads against the glass in excitement at seeing her. She didn't know why, but they were more partial to her than they were to Helen, whom they tolerated, and Magnus, with whom they were downright aggressive. Okay, so the lights were on, so it wasn't as if they'd locked up, and the security guard who'd let her in said he was sure they hadn't left. She looked in the various supply closets, hoping she wouldn't find the two of them naked together. She'd really hoped Magnus and her were done with that phase of their relationship. As she looked through the lab, she realized maybe it wasn't a visual clue that she needed. A distinct warmth in the air radiated from the intergalactic doohickey Magnus had invented that let her see dinosaurs, and which she had almost made tragic by running through the portal and almost getting eaten by an Allosaurus, if it hadn't been for the cute little clone's progenitor, Enki. The machine generated a great deal of heat, so it had been turned on recently. So Magnus and Helen had gone universe-hopping without her, and hadn't called, so probably had been expecting to be back rather soon. So she'd wait for them, patiently. She could spend the time looking for something lightweight and strong so she could beat Magnus over the head with it if she didn't like his explanation.
Chapter 9.
"What's so funny, Manling?" Lorelei demanded.
"Just thinking how well Helen should fit in here," he answered honestly.
Lorelei cocked her head to the side and regarded him confusedly. "Aren't you terrified?"
"Of what? This?" he gestured airily. "To what I assume is your true form, that you've dropped the illusion of being good kindly elves?"
"Well, yes," she said somewhat deflatedly.
"A little. But the whole BDSM bad girl thing kinda works for me, so it's kinda hard."
"So I see," Lorelei said, her hand stretching out to run a nail along the shaft of his still erect cock. She smiled wickedly at him and slid forward, impaling herself smoothly on his tumescence. The shock of her tight, wet body enveloping him nearly brought him to climax. He managed to avert it by calculating the compound acceleration of an object falling from 200 meters, the physicist's equivalent of thinking about baseball. Even this version, her skin no longer bedazzling with a golden sheen, she was still inhumanely graceful, her body lithe and supple as she arched her back in a way few humans could match, and she seemingly had extra muscles to squeeze his once again painfully hard cock with.
9.8 meters per second squared,
he muttered to himself through clenched teeth. She lifted herself mostly off his cock till just the tip touched her labia, then speared herself down all the way, then slid up a few inches and plunged her moist warmth down again. He could no longer speak or form coherent thoughts, only watch her lambent ivory skin in the candlelight, her small firm breasts bouncing above him, nipples pink rosebuds, black hair down past her shoulders. He was moments from climax, when her long black nails again raked over his chest, leaving bright new trails of blood. "Not yet," she commanded, and impaled herself once again on his hardness, and this time she writhed in delicious sensation as her first orgasm of the night coursed through her. She did not intend to let the manling climax till she was more than satisfied. If even then. She arched her back again, leaning all the way so that her back touched the cold stone floor, and pulled a sharp, thin flechette from her bag of tricks. She could tell from his rapid breathing he really enjoyed when she did this. She smiled to herself and moved in slow circles, building him up towards climax again, before she dragged her blade down his inner thigh as he screamed in real pain. She then bent forward to lick the tears now forming from his eyes and even deigned to kiss his thick, clumsy, manling lips. She was surprised at the vestiges of skill she found in his kiss. Perhaps she would let him apply his tongue to her nether lips and taste her sweet nectar there.
Chapter 10.
"So where are you really from, my lady?" Ari asked her as they spooned on the large featherbed, which was lumpy and nothing like as nice as her Tempur-Pedic mattress, but was made wonderful by the sexy, slender masterpiece she pillowed her head on, giving his tiny male nipples a playful lick, which made her lower body tighten and sent a shiver down her spine.
"I'd rather not say," she mumbled.
Magnus had gone on and on about not revealing their origins, which were reasons she completely agreed with at the time, but found hard to remember at the moment, her body trembling with aftershocks and afterglow of orgasm after orgasm, as Ari's cock had ravaged her for what felt like days, but had probably only been about an hour. Then she found herself on her back, and he was sucking on her nipples, drawing them into his mouth and rolling them around, giving them small nips, teasing them and her as a tension built in the back of her mind tingles through her whole body. Then he kissed his way lower, taking time to kiss the inside of her thigh, kiss her on the folds of her labia, then slipping his tongue inside those lips, lapping upwards, caressing her clit with his tongue, and again, a most wet touch, expertly touching her in that most pleasurable spot. She moaned her pleasure. His exquisite, soft touch, supple fingers working her nipple, a pause to bite the inside of her thigh. She was close and getting closer. The steady rhythm of his tongue, his touch, the absolute spellbinding nearness of him, and the heat of his golden skin. It was too much. Spasming tightly, she came and came, an orgasm lasting forever, burning out all of her thoughts, but opening herself up wider to him. She told him everything.
Chapter 11
"So where are you from?" Lorelei asked.
"Get fucked," Magnus said. Smiling widely, Lorelei kissed his mouth hungrily, savoring the taste of lust and blood she found there. Magnus struggled futilely against the restraints binding his wrist, tied to chains embedded in the wall. The leather cut and chafed at his skin. Despite this, his cock was still erect, still responsive to her incredibly delicate touch, still soft and attentive there, while demanding and rough everywhere else.
"Again, how did you come to be here?" she persisted.
"I already told you, get fucked," Magnus said.
"You have some steel inside you," Lorelei conceded with grudging admiration. "Take care you do not find additional steel inside you." She cutting him again along his buttocks with her blade, nudging his rear iris with the blade in unmistakable intent.
"Look, let's be reasonable here," Magnus said in a much more worried tone.
"Are you so concerned on keeping this orifice virgin?" she asked curiously. "Some men are very concerned with that."
Her tone was level, as if discussing the weather or the merits of a certain type of wine.
"I'm very concerned on keeping that orifice poison for you anyway."
"That's fairies. We're elves. And yes, they are bothered by steel and iron, especially when deeply penetrated by it. I have several cold iron dildos just for that purpose. They tend to yield their secrets much more readily than you, you know."
Her tone was half admiring, half displeased. All the while she continued to tease his shaft with her fingers, caressing and stroking it, then just the lightest touch along the shaft or over the head, never letting him get close, never letting his erection fade.
"It's really hard to think straight when you do that," he told her.
"Good," she said. "That is part of the process of breaking you down."
She slid herself onto his hard cock, pulling herself up on metal loops implanted into the wall, either for more restraints or for this very purpose, and moved herself up and down on his hard cock, her ass slamming into her hips like a gymnast on the uneven parallel bars.
"Is this part of the process, too?" he breathed,
unable to speak as she engulfed his cock in her warm folds, filling him with pleasure even as she ran her blade down his chest, cold steel playing with his nipple in a way that was both painful and erotic. He moaned his pleasure, which for a moment blended with her own moans. Then there was only the silence of their breathing as she worked herself closer to him, her chest level with his mouth so he could suck on the tiny rosebuds of her nipples, sucking on her soft breasts, small but filling his mouth nonetheless. He sucked as she worked her way on him, just a few inches back and forth over the head of his cock. He was so close, he could feel his climax coming. Breathing faster, her own was coming as well. Hers got there first, and her moan spurred him, and he grew harder, his breathing faster. Then she dismounted, leaving his cock twitching in the air. Still, he might have finished from the touch of her nipple in his mouth, but that was yanked from his lips, and the blade ceased teasing and sank a half-inch deep into his pectoral muscle. He screamed in pain and frustration. "Again, where are you from, Manling?"
"Get fucked," he spat.
Chapter 12.
"So in your universe you don't use magic?" Ari was asking.
"No, we use science."
"Science?"
"Well, we study natural laws and invent devices which manipulate matter by following these laws. For example, we can generate electricity."
"Like a lightning bolt spell?"
"Something like that, though I don't mean we generate it by shooting it from our fingertips. A magnet is rotated through an electric field, or vice versa, and this generates electricity."
"And how is the rotation done? Do you have slaves turn a capstan?"
"No, we use steam to turn a shaft."
"And where does the steam come from?"
"Another machine called a boiler."
"And why is it called that? Because it is built to scald those who disturb it?"
"No, because it boils water."
"You're not very imaginative for such an inventive people."
"This was all hundreds of years ago," Helen said defensively. "Anyway, why are you so curious?"
"Because we have been trapped here for 100 years, and now you have shown us a way out."
"Trapped where?"
"In this universe."
"That's a pretty big place to be trapped."
"But it is still too small for us."
"All Denmark is a prison."
"What was that?"
"Just quoting Hamlet, one of our famous plays."
"What is a play?"
"Seriously?"
"Very much."
"It's an entertainment. Someone writes a script, and a group of people pretend to be other people, as written in the script."
"Oh, we do that sometimes."
"See, you have plays."
"And then everyone has sex with each other."
"Maybe not. What other entertainments do you have?"
"Well, there are the exhibitions of sex and the role-playing. Also, when we go to war, we take prisoners and those we don't want as slaves. We put them together into this giant man-like structure." She noticed he didn't say elf-like structure. "And then set it on fire."
Oh, the screams.
Though it wasn't cold beneath the furs, her naked body goose-prickled and she shivered, in a very different way than he'd been making her shiver all night.
"Helen, I see I've made you uncomfortable."
"You said my name," she said, opening her eyes.
"I know."
"But you've been calling me M'lady all night."
"I know."
She looked at him. Even in the candlelight, he looked different. His eyes didn't sparkle sea-green, but were a cold gray. His teeth appeared sharper, more predatory, his smile more cruel than good-humored, and of course his skin was a shining alabaster and hair jet-black. Other than that, he looked exactly the same as when he had lain between her legs licking at her most tender spot.
"Oh, shit," she said.
Chapter 13.
"Why do you keep drawing this out?" Lorelei asked.
"I think that's you,"
Magnus said.
"Do you really think I'd allow a manling to spill his seed inside me? And what have one of those monstrous half-breeds? Your kind disgust me."
"Then why do you keep fucking me?" he asked.
"Because it pleases me to defile my flesh with you."
"Glad I could help,"
he said wryly, smiling despite the blood dripping into his mouth. She had taken to cutting his cheeks and below his eyes so it seemed he was weeping. Apparently that was fun for her.
"Impudent wretch," she said and backhanded him across the face, splitting his lip again.
"Great, more blood," he thought to himself. "Are you sure you're not a vampire?"
"Of course I'm sure. I'm an elf, the finest children and servitors of the Elder Gods. We have a vampire in the basement. Would you like me to bring him up? I'm sure he would enjoy the feast of blood you provide."
"No thanks," he said coolly. though that threat unnerved him more than all her previous ones, more than the cuts and the constant sexual teasing.
"Why won't you tell me where you're from and how you got here? Don't you want to make me happy?"
she asked, leaning very close so he could see that dainty mouth so very close to his own. She kissed him tenderly, which along with the blood loss left his head spinning.
"Not really on my priority list, no," he said.
"You're a very stubborn manling."
"Well, there's the fact that once you find out, you have no reason not to kill me."
"True," she conceded.
She stroked his hungry cock and it quivered at his touch.
"But part of you likes me very much. Isn't that pleasure worth something?"
"I don't think I'm the only one enjoying that part of things," he smirked.
"Don't you dare smirk at me, manling."
"Or what? You'll torture me?
Get fucked."
Taking him at his word, she climbed atop of him, rocking against him even fiercer than before, their mouths seeking each other out, kissing each other hungrily. As much as his restraints allowed, he thrust his hips into hers as she crashed hers into him, trying to find release before she continued her tortures. She bit hungrily into his neck, which spurred him on even more, and this time they came together. He found release as his cock spurted and writhed in the amazing softness of her. She moaned her own release, squeezing his waist with her legs, holding him tight as he softened inside her. Then she bit his neck, not at all playfully, making him cry out sharply in pain.
"Look what you've done," she said.
"Yes, clearly it's all my fault," he said,
rattling his restraints meaningfully.
"I like you, manling," she said.
"I've noticed."
"Now, tell me what I want to know."
"Get fucked," he said.
Another backhand struck his face faster than his eye could follow.
"Oh, good. More blood," he thought again.
Chapter 14
"Magnus!" Helen cried as she ran to him and buried her face in his neck.
"Ari?"
Lorelei questioned.
"She has told us much. What have you learned?"
"That his blood tastes very sweet, and that these humans are quite resilient."
"Have you been torturing him this entire time?"
"Not the entire time, no."
"Depends what you mean by torture," Magnus interjected.
"You enjoyed it," Lorelei shot back.
"You are so kinky," Helen whispered excitedly into his ear.
"Not now, I'm sore," he whispered back at her. "You were supposed to seduce him, not reveal yourself so openly."
"I wouldn't defile myself so."
"So you haven't fucked him?"
"Of course I fucked him, but on my terms, not his, and not for some simpering seduction. That was a horrible, stupid plan."
"It worked," Ari said smugly.
"You don't know it worked. You just know she told you some moonstruck story."
"Look through his clothes, and see if you find an ovoid device that has buttons on the sides of various colors."
"You do it,"
she shot back. Her pride was stung. If he had succeeded where she had not, that would be a coup for him, and she would lose much influence at the royal court.
"You've already had much more intimate contact with him and his belongings," he countered. Clearly, he didn't want to touch another man's small clothes.
She had a smug smile of her own as she shuffled through the man's pants and belongings, finding a device similar to the one described.
"Now, how do I operate this to summon the portal?" "Now, how do I operate this to summon the portal?" Ari asked Helen. "She doesn't know," Magnus put in, cutting Helen off from answering. "Why don't you tell me why this is such a big deal for you guys?"
"Hasn't she told you?"
Ari said with a contemptuous glance at his compatriot.
"We've been busy," he said,
for some reason irritated at the elf's attitude towards his torturer.
"They were sealed off from all other universes because they used to use magic similar to your portal device and raid and steal slaves and victims to sacrifice to elder gods like Nyarlathotep and Cthulhu." "Those are real?" Magnus said.
"So you know of our gods," Lorelei said. "Your people aren't completely ignorant after all."
"Ignorant? We invented boilers in the internet. You just wave your hands and make things happen," Helen countered.
like convincing you to tell me everything you know, including this amazing device that will allow us to once again work our magic and travel between universes, Ari exclaimed.
How is that exactly?
Magnus said with admirable composure, given his general nakedness and proximity to Helen, that he had no memories of ever being naked with.
We were the terrors of the multiverse, traveling much as you have, though we referred to it as traveling between dimensions. We would travel and steal, as Helen has said. Our magic and military might was second to only the Elder Gods whom we served. But then, many great wizards from many dimensions cast a spell that we could not break, sealing us and our magic within this, our home universe. And while we can work much magic and illusion in here, we cannot escape this prison with our magic. But your science can allow us to leave this prison, and once outside of our universe, we can wreak our magic once again. Once again, the name of Elf will be a byword for terror.
Not sure it was ever really a byword for...
Hush! Helen said, biting his chest to keep him from talking.
I've really had enough of being bitten today, he said to the universe at large.
And Helen has told me that you can summon this portal to you with this device. Tell me how.
Go eat a dick, was Magnus's response. Ari drew his knife in a blur and put it to Magnus's throat.
I'll tell you, Helen said.
But he says you don't know how to work it.
He lies, she said. He thinks if we tell you, then you'll kill us both. But I know that some part of the illusion you cast was real, that you couldn't fuck me that way and be completely evil.
Ari just grinned at her as she explained how to point the device and which button to press.
Women, so easy to deceive. This is why you were unable to break your little human there. This is a man's work.
And he held the device out in front of him and depressed the red button as Helen instructed.
Chapter 15.
And juddered as 2,000 amperes of electric current coursed through his body. He twitched and shook, and he kneeled over stiff as a board and dropped unconscious to the stone floor, striking it hard enough to thud noisily. The dinosaur prod jarred out of his still-curled fingers. He was bleeding freely from his temple as Helen dashed over and retrieved the miniature dinosaur prod that Magnus had developed over the last few months. She kicked Aristophanes viciously to the ribs several times, then turned and pointed the prod at Lorelei. He was such a stupid prick, she said to the room at large.
But you told him everything, Magnus said.
Well, yeah, but I thought he was a good guy, and he had just about literally fucked my brains out. But then he turned into a total tool, and of course, like every guy, thinks that once he'd won you over, it doesn't matter how he treats you after, as if it's not a woman's prerogative to change her mind.
I thought that expression had gone out of favor.
Well, yeah, it makes women sound flighty, so feminists are all down on it. Fucking bullshit. The last thing I give a damn about is what some dame who majored in women's studies thinks about how I should behave in the boys' club that is scientific academia. Now, how about you set the pretty boy free before I give you some of what I gave Ari?
And then what, exactly?
Lorelei asked far too casually.
Then Magnus and I get the hell out of here and go back to our own universe and try to forget this ever happened. The only question is, are you going to be smart or are you going to be crisped and fried?
Never going to happen.
Don't get me wrong, I very much appreciate you making Ari look like the complete imbecile that he is. I truly do. But I must insist you stay.
You don't want to insist. You don't have the kind of insistence required, Helen said, her voice low and firm.
Magnus rolled his eyes, muttering, "Stole that from me."
"Fine, you want it this way," Helen said, raising the dinosaur prod and moving her finger over the button, only to find Lorelei suddenly behind her with a knife at her throat.
"Don't kill her,"
Magnus said.
"And why shouldn't I?"
"Because you need to make a deal with us, and I won't deal if she's dead."
"Gee, Magnus, I didn't know you cared."
"I just don't want to have to explain to Amy that I misplaced her best friend somewhere among the evil elves of the Elder Gods."
"Evil elves of the Elder Gods. I like that. Punchy."
Magnus rolled his eyes skyward again.
"She likes it."
"So anyway," Magnus said, trying to wrest control of the conversation,
"I think you want to make a deal with me. Sure, you could seduce me or her into telling you everything we know, but that gets you a single pass.
You don't know how to calibrate the device, and there's no way you can make a new one if it breaks. I can.
I can just torture you till your mind breaks and you'll do anything I want.
You want to rely on a broken mind to repair and make a device to travel through the multiverse?
That does sound like a flaw when you say it, she conceded.
See, I think that was your plan all along. You didn't bother to deceive me and get the information that would only be short-term useful to you. You wanted to see if I could handle dealing with someone like yourself. See, I think you're like Helen. You don't like to be honest. You just say how it is and let the rest of the world just fucking deal.
Helen looked at Lorelai with new eyes.
You're a little like me, huh? Knew there was something I didn't like about you. Say that's true. Does this mean we can make a deal?
You let me and Helen go back to our universe, and you can come back with us, and I'll send you to a world that's full of magic. Then maybe you can undo the block from outside. If not, I'll provide passage for a few of you at a time to go other places. I can operate the machine, find the places you need to go, and if it breaks, make a new one.
So you're prepared to make a deal with an amoral being, one dedicated to bringing rack and ruin unto others?
Of course. I make deals with Helen all the time. That's how we ended up here.
I resent that, Helen protested. I am not dedicated to bringing rack and ruin into the lives of others. I just don't particularly mind if it happens. But it's not, you know, my purpose.
Objection noted, Magnus said. Can you undo my restraints here? My arms are on fire.
Lorelai eased her blade away from Helen's throat. She gestured for Helen to undo the restraints, releasing first the leather straps from the metal brackets in the wall, and then undoing the straps on his wrists now that there was sufficient slack.
How do I know that I can trust you not to find some way to reverse the technology, the way you did with poor, sweet Ari?
Her words dripped sarcasm.
Well, aside from the fact that I think I'm halfway in love with you, Magnus began.
Helen hissed,
Magnus?
I can't help it. We spent half the night having her sexually torture me. How can I not be half in love with her? I mean, look at her.
Fair enough. I'm half in love with her myself, she said, rubbing the spot where the blade had pricked her neck. I should have shot first, Helen grumbled.
And then what? Magnus asked. Do you think if we were unescorted we could have even found our way out of this castle, let alone do it without running across more guards?
All right, clearly a deal is the better plan.
And you don't mind that we will be raiding other universes and sacrificing victims to our eldritch gods?
Well, not from our universe, right?
You didn't make that part of the deal.
I thought it was implied.
Implied? Burst out Helen. It doesn't seem worth mentioning explicitly.
I had other things on my mind, he said.
Her tits and ass, you mean, Helen said sharply. When I tell Amy...
When you tell Amy what? Are you breaking our deal? I'm sure that would be making Lorelai very nervous if you were. She's trusting us because we keep our deals no matter what, don't we?
Of course, Helen said meekly, which made him very nervous.
Well, and of course I'm staying with you.
What?
Said Helen and Magnus.
To keep you honest... I will be close to you,
and she put her hand possessively on Magnus's naked, bloody peck,
for a very long time,
and kissed his cheek gently.
I'm fucked,
he whispered to himself.
Chapter 16
They stood outside the area where the two quantum travelers had made their entrance, along with two guards and three members of a raiding party. What Lorelai explained was an extraordinary show of force in terms of elf power. The agreement had been made both explicit and written, signed and co-signed in blood by Magnus and Helen. And while the elf mages could no longer open a viewing portal to the elder gods to show what would happen if the bargain was betrayed, there were nonetheless some very convincing portraits and tapestries that had made Magnus, now clothed, wince, and Helen throw up a bit. Magnus pulled the other metal rod out of his pack and pressed the button to activate the portal remotely from this side. And then he pressed it again. Sweating visibly, he shook it and pressed it again. Nervously, Helen approached him.
"What's wrong?" she hissed. "Get us home before these homicidal pointy ears kill us and rip out our entrails."
"It's not working.
We'll make it work.
It should be working. It would only not work if someone had activated it. And only one other person...
What are you two hissing about now? Inquired Lorelei. Her casual tone belied the blade once again poking at Magnus's throat.